Down to brass tacks, hello.
A bit too long. Hello.
Just your judgment call, but I'm in a position
Can you hear me,
where
Mr. Alistair? You
I
hear
am in
me?
a position where I gotta call it as I see it, so
Yeah, you're the boss. You're in
I
charge.
call it as I see it.
You call the
I
shot.
gotta treat you the same way too.
You call the shot. You hear me, though?
Yes.
Oh, good, man. You hear me? I think she was too long, man.
But you heard that already.
Very good. David Alistair, let me talk to my brother. Have a minute. I want to represent or try to represent the public servant. Now, we asked the public servant for so long for an increase of salary, and then after they get the a percentage, which was not the right one, now we are talking about bonds. I'm wondering something. You did, David?
I'm listening to you, yeah.
Oh, okay, my boy. I'm wondering something. Now, there are mortgages that are taken from salaries, mortgages that are taken compulsory from salaries. Now, these bonds, after your salary goes to the bank and money is deducted for a mortgage. Now, this bonds will be then dealt with change money. We can't call it change money.
Sir,
Because
let's
most of the
be.
money goes to the bank for
Sir,
mortgage.
sir, first of all.
Oh, these bonds.
First of all.
I don't understand that.
Well, just hold on a minute. If you were a public servant, or if you are, you would first have to be fully conscious of what money you earn, how much money you have committed to various things, whether it's your mortgage, food, car insurance, whatever. You would then have to determine, based on what the government is proposing here, whether you could participate in the purchase of bonds or not. It is not being forced upon you. So I
Oh,
don't
that's
understand. You seem to be confused about it. It is not
I
forced
was
upon you. You make a decision as to whether you want to do it or not based upon your circumstances. Understood?
understood. Because I'm saying that then if you have to do it, then the bank have to, not might or should restructure or refinance or adjust or whatever your mortgage. But no, I'm understanding from you that it was not because of
No,
the
no, no, no.
mortgages and selling
That is what
property.
was explained yesterday, that they have refined it. Originally, it was being called for savings. Now it is considered to be optional.
Optional, that's the word.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Ellis.
All right. Down to
I
brass
want to.
tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, hello.
David?
Yes.
Thought I was gone. One more piece. You there?
Yes,
Yeah, Mr. Ellis. We talk about the church. It was 6 feet apart for church early on. Now you're telling me now is they said what is 40 square feet? That's what they said, 40 square feet.
Yes, this is
Oh,
what is
which means
considered with the
that
internationally accepted distance.
okay, and which means that the government did not care for my the average small Pentecostal resident Nazarene church.
The government or
Actually,
the disease?
man,
I would think it's the disease that didn't cater for you if you got a small church.
it ain't care for nobody at all because
Precisely. So if you got a small church, you might have to have open air meetings.
it's a devil attack. But I'm saying, listening to the news, listening to the information, the data received, that now the international thing, they deal with churches, those big Muslim churches, those big, and the small churches, obviously will have to remain on Zoom or remain shut down. Because it was supposed to be 6 feet apart, now 40 square feet. That is
You
nothing.
know, part of the problem, I told you just now that it is more the disease that you have to look at. I have been watching new information that suggests that 6 feet apart is now considered inadequate, especially in circumstances where people are in enclosed rooms. Now, if you're outside in a country like this, it appears to be different. But if you are within an enclosed space, and you have a gathering of people, you are more at risk than you thought 6 feet apart. And these are things that people have to take into consideration as we move to to ease more and more of the restrictions. If you are indoors, it is more dangerous, and therefore you have to take more precautions. If you are outdoors, it does not mean that you can be free and easy. You still have to look at physical distancing and things like that. So if you're running, are you running a small church?
No, I'm not running a small church.
You're not running it. You belong to one.
I go to a small church, sir.
A small. How many people in the congregation?
My congregation?
Yeah.
To be truthful with you, I don't know, almost 100.
Almost 100 is that a small church?
Yes, a small church, but we...
It's a small church with a big congregation. It's a small building.
A small church with a big congregation.
Okay.
People make it work at all the... You don't see thousands of doves and fats and things. So we make it work in a small church where fire comes from.
So you're going to have to sit down in the church and look at the problem that you're faced with and then determine how you're going to sort that out. May well be that you might have to stagger your services.
Yeah, but I thought to me that this epidemic in Barbados is more than controllable.
You think?
We bring it to, huh?
You
really? We bring it to an end. It's coming to an end.
Let me tell you something.
It's going to pass.
Let me say something to you.
Let me talk. Give me the mic.
Okay.
It's passing, Mr. Ellis. Because the statistics show that the government, everybody has it under control, and it's bypassing Barbados. It's going to pass. So I'm not too sure if it's right now for the 40 by 40. I thought that should have been when it was in phrase in stage 1 and 2 up in there. But now it's coming to, I think so, I don't know. 40 by 40 is needed now.
All right, now, South Korea is a country that had it under control. And then South Korea reopened the schools. And South Korea has had, they had a cluster at a nightclub. And then they had to shut down a couple of schools, at least one major school, from my recollection, this past week, because of a resurgence of it. You have to always be on guard, because all it takes is one person in the wrong place, including a church, to be able to create a new wave of this thing in any country. There are countries that are fine examples of that. This idea that you have that it gone.
No, I didn't tell you so.
It bypassed Barbados. What you tell me?
It's going.
It's going. Well, it ain't gone yet. But that's the most important point.
It's not like it was not like before, for sure, sir.
No.
Not like before.
But all I'm saying to you, sir, is it ain't gone yet. And that is why there is that exercise of caution. It is the reason why from next week the curfew will be longer at the weekend than during the course of the week. And that's what the Attorney General pointed out. Because as he sees it, when you let people go at the weekend, they become free and easy, they drink, they socialize a lot more, and the risk is greater. The reason why that is being done is because it ain't gone yet.
But my thing is, I feel when the church is open, we'll help it go sooner. The church is where you can go and fight it with prayer. We pray, prayer warriors and we believe, and the believers, it will go.
Yeah.
With the church open.
I'm going to just tell you this.
The balance of it will go.
I'll tell you something.
I am sure
there can be more prayer warriors here than they had in New York.
That is true. We are comparing Barbados with New York.
I hear you.
Barbados right now and the data we get.
I'm not here to knock your faith, but I think you have to stack your faith against the science and the common sense measures that people need to take. What will it take for you to get your congregation together and the leadership of the church to work out your own way of working around this problem?
Well, we are on Zoom. We are on Zoom meetings. We have no choice. We continue to be on Zoom.
Okay.
I was just trying to aggregate defined about 40 by 40.
Fair enough. But
it was 6 feet apart. Now it's 40 by 40.
Let me ask you something, though.
It leaves no room for small churches.
Let me ask you something. Since you've been holding, Zoom meetings, have you had more people attending church or fewer?
In some services, I suspect that more people were on our Zoom meeting.
Yes.
To the next service, I suspect that more people were there on our Zoom meeting.
Why do you think that was so?
Why do I think that was so?
Yes.
You're not examining me now on National Radio, Miss Alice. Because some people who are more comfortable at Zoom, some people probably feel that in church, where everybody see you and hear you, and then you are in your private home, and you feel much more comfortable than being among some people at church. Because everybody in church, Miss Ellis, is not perfect, you know.
Do you think that Zoom meetings are here to stay as a part of what the church can offer?
If I feel that Zoom meetings are here...
So that you will end up combining meeting face-to-face and exercising physical distancing if necessary, once we go get rid of the disease, if we, in a reasonably short time. But even if we don't, we have a combination. Even if we got rid of COVID, do you anticipate that there's a place for the church now to have a combination of those two? Because there are a lot of people who consider it to be far more convenient. People that you would not ordinarily see out will now go to church.
I agree. But let me tell you about myself, Mr. Ellis, because, people might say that people will judge me. But according to myself, I love the church rather than Zoom meetings. Because when you get the ambulance in church, when you get, let's face it, people... The presentation of people, the dress and the thing, it's a different feeling among those four walls, Mr. Ellis. Dress for church is a different, that puts you in a different gear. So it's different to a Zoom meeting at home. That is my thing of it.
Well, I appreciate that it will be different. You see, you've grown up in an environment where you've been meeting and greeting each other.
Presentation.
Pardon?
Because even zooming, the sounding is like brass tacks. The delay system, and then unmute. Technology, there are still some technical difficulties which will not be experienced in our church when we are singing and having a good time. It's a different entity.
On Zoom, you could put the sermon on mute if you're not in agreement with it.
And you can put it on mute too.
All right. Have a good day. Thanks for calling. Just to make a correction to something that one of the previous callers said, the guy who was calling from the church, the distance is 40 square feet. That is the distance that should be separating each person in the church, which is, about, 6 by 6 or feet or so. So let's hear what else you have on your mind. Today promises to be a most stimulating program. Good morning. You're on the air.
I just would like to congratulate the general public of Barbados for how they reacted in this pandemic. Because without the cooperation of John Citizen, this whole exercise would have failed. And the restrictions, the intimidation, police irregular activity and the way they treated the citizens had nothing to do with it. The curfew had nothing to do with it. You understand? It was the reaction or the response of the general public that has recovered us, that brought us back. Because we get into this game too late. Because pandemic was quite active in our tourist season, and there was a deafening silence from this administration during that period. You understand? Also, I want to say something else. I live in an area where I have seen with my eyes policemen come in the area. They have a few very beautiful young women who operate a business, which I think at the time was illegal. Policemen run guys. They took dogs. They got these spotlights going shining through the villages. Not through the villages, through the little back alleys. Four jeeps, police armor with dogs. Here's another incident. A family of three, a child and parent, playing music in the backyard. Police brought on the back door and went in. They had some sort of entertainment and all sorts. There should be a law against that. That's an invasion of the people's privacy. You understand? Going back, coming at a man who's telling him, go inside off the gallery. Give me a break. What have we come to? We live in an authoritarian state at this point.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm serious. That is what
I mean, you come here and you cite two examples out of all the experiences that people have in this country with the police. I am not here to say that there are not instances where the police are heavy-handed and do the wrong thing, set the wrong example and that sort of thing. It does happen. But by this same token, there are other examples where people can tell you about their positive experiences with the police. And you can't.
Such as?
Well, you know, I don't have the specifics, but I know for sure that people can tell you of other experiences.
Are you giving you specifics, though?
Yeah, because you came here targeting the police and using the two examples to say that Barbados is an authoritarian state. And one of the examples, to my mind, don't suggest that that's being authoritarian. If you say that he got one of the women and he messing around with the woman in public, I don't know how that falls within the realm of being an authoritarian state. All right. Police dogs in a neighborhood. I don't know all the circumstances. And one incident cannot, by any stretch of the imagination, classify Barbados and define Barbados as an authoritarian state. You need to go in the United States or someplace like that, where some of the things that happen in those communities can more fall within that kind that realm. But to come to a conclusion, such as you have done, would require far more examination and study. And therefore, while I will hear that this is the experience that you have had, and you don't think it was a good experience, I just don't think you can move from there to brand the country as a whole, or to brand the police force as a whole, on the basis of that experience.
When America had a Democratic Party in power, and it sang the praises of equality and all these different issues, we never thought of them like that. But look at what has happened now.
I don't know. I can go into, if I sat you down and I asked you some questions, I would then better appreciate where you're coming from and why. I don't know there may be something behind it that is driving all of this and got you with an anger. It's possible, huh? So
I am angry for sure, you know.
You're angry for sure?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
They've given police new powers, right? They can come in your place and break down your door and all sort of thing. No, not at all.
I don't know that. I thought that the police... No, I don't know that the police could just... come into private property as they please. Some may behave that way, but you know, if you have what it takes to test their behavior, some people can find themselves in a lot of trouble. I don't think the law has not changed in that regard. You still have to respect people's rights.
Well, I think
I don't know where you're going. As you said, you're angry. Why are you so angry?
Listen to this. Let me give you another example.
You and the police?
Not me. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I keep quiet because I know how I think. And sometimes silence is the best measure. You stay away from people, from trouble. You avoid situations that you get into trouble. I have no police record. Police don't even know me, unless my personal friends. You understand? That is the sort of citizen I am. I'm an upstanding citizen in this country.
Look, I'm not... I think we're in difficult times. We are at a place where a lot of work needs to be done in trying to build relationships with institutions like the police. And I think it would be better for us to spend a bit of time trying to find ways of making that situation better, rather than hammering the very point that you've already made, which you seem prepared to go the extra mile now to make even further. But my question to you is, what are you looking for at the end of the day, and how would you recommend that we try to improve the situation? Have you thought about that?
Listen, the way you see it, it is the system that we find ourselves in. Just like the Americans, it will gradually change. And as a matter of fact, I can predict now, politics in Barbados will never be the same again. Erito, and we're going to prove it as we go along.
All right. Well, let's get some other views. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon. Good morning.
Morning.
You just told the last gentleman that you don't have the statistics, but there are people who can make the claim, or who can, you know, or you develop an argument in any event. Both sides are based on an assumption of what you you see to be there, where the real problem perhaps is that there is no information. I mean, yeah, for me, if only one policeman roughs up a girl on Bush Hill, or breaks into some person's house because they would know the person doesn't have the ability to respond through the legal processes and so on. If what happens to one person, that is as offensive as if it were a complete police authoritarian state. All it takes is one example, and that's good enough. I'm sorry, I agree with the other gentleman. But again, it's based on stats. You don't have any stats to know to find out whether or not it happens as the norm, or if it only happened that one time. So both of you can talk forever, and all I have to do is choose a side, and I chose your caller's side as opposed to your side, which is to say, well, let's work towards an accommodation and let the police appear to look better than they perhaps really are, and so that's fine. But let me ask a question that involves numbers. How many people died of cardiovascular? That means they had stroke, or they had heart attack or heart failure or something in the past month or for the year. How many died every year? You have information on that?
No, I don't.
You are diabetic. This should be of concern to you. And this diabetes thing is an age-related thing as well, too, in many instances. How many people suffer from diabetes in Barbados? I can get the information from worldwide, and I have to assume that, yeah, okay, let's go to Barbados. I mean, I can tell you how many asymptomatic. The word where you don't show the symptoms, but you have contracted the particular ailment. How many people are there of them in Barbados with this COVID thing? They got an estimate for you. At least a training in that department. How many people have died of it? They got a number for you. How many people have actually recovered from it? They have a number for that too. You got stats on this sickness, man, to the finest detail I've ever heard. But how many people are there in Barbados that are over the age of 65? How many people are there in Barbados that suffer and die from the influenza every year or the common cold every year? I mean, I asked a doctor, an expert in the particular field, just give me the number now. How many people died of heart attacks last year? He didn't give me. He will not give me. I asked another person who carries the same name as the doctor who was here on the radio station a couple of weeks ago. Carries the same name, I don't know if he's related. And I said to him, my man, in the supermarket about 15 years ago, I said, my man, because he was in front of me in line. All these people getting sick of this particular virus, every year or 2 years ago, a different virus has gone, David. The viruses come, do its damage, and disappear. Where these viruses go? How come this come up do all this thing and disappear. And his response to me, and I'm thinking, I'm quoting probably word for word, you know, oh, they just go back into the wild where they came from in the first place. And I'm sorry, but that was not good enough. He just said they went back into the wild where they came from. And that's probably word for word. I can't call him my name. And I said, that is not good enough, my friend. But even though we don't know where they come from or where they go, the point is that they will come again. They will come again. And this whole response about shutting down and social distancing and wearing masks and sanitizing and every damn thing else that will probably in the long run affect your immune response worse than not having done it in the first place, it's not something that is a government policy based on all of the ministers you have and all of the consultants you have, but a dictate coming from the World Health Organization to a particular minister of health to be implemented. The only choice he has is the timing of it. That's the only choice he has. But what has to be done, he will have to do whether he likes it or not, because it's coming from outside and he has to respond that way.
Well, I can't deny that there is a need for more information on the areas that you have raised. I have absolutely no difficulty with that. Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, Miss Ellis.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah. Hope that you're in the best of health this morning, as I am.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
I'm well.
Yeah, glad to hear that. I'm also, yeah. Miss Ellis, there's a couple of things that I would like to discuss with you. You can read them out for yourself if you feel like, but you can answer them too. Miss Ellis, there's a lady by the name of Miss Cummings. I think she's a member of the Senate, and I think she's the chairman of the cruise ship business on behalf of the government. I heard her giving a number of the amount of persons would be at all port here on the cruise liners. I didn't mind that because I think we take a lot of chances, and I'm not going on that road with what I think is doing wrong in that way. What is the area that I really would like the Minister of Health or the Prime Minister to help me with is this part that she said. She told us that charter flights will be arriving in Barbados for these passengers on these cruise ships, and because they'll be coming out empty, Bajans who are stranded will be placed on them and brought home. And she names some countries, Canada, America, UK, and etc. I would like the Minister of Health, and if you want to answer it, you can.
Mind the Minister.
Do we have things in place? Let's say the first two charter flights bring 150 people. Whereby, I think, since the 22nd of March, all Prime Ministers said anyone arriving in Barbados will have to go in a 2 week quarantine. You remember that?
Yes.
Do we have everything in place for the flats of people, the amount of people that Ms. Cummings is speaking about that will become named on this charter flight?
As I told you, I am not the Minister of Health. I am not the COVID czar, and I know that in general terms, they have already said that Barbados has facilities to quarantine people and that we have been quarantining people.
The exact numbers,
I don't know what is our full capacity at this stage, but Barbados has put a lot of money behind it.
Yeah, because why say that, Miss Ellis? Because, you know, I got a weird time to follow what's going on. And our problem that we went through the last couple of months started between the 1st of March and the 19th. And all the problems that we get for that period of time up to now came from persons coming in, Bajans returning. And it didn't have 50 people. So, in other words, we have an idea of the last person that came in that we had to put in quarantine. Let's move from there before...
Just before we move from there, your vacation finish?
On Sunday last week, Miss Ellis. Oh, I announced it Sunday last week.
I didn't realize that was the announcement. I thought you would say that you were coming briefly and then you were going back on vacation.
No, not you.
But you told me so Friday. You told me so last week.
No, I I spoke to Corey Lane on the day when I came back, a Sunday. And I told Corey Lane, you know, I was on vacation. And I'm back now. And I'd be driving heavy now that I'm back.
You're driving heavy?
Yeah, I got real things. Let me move on and don't then tell me I got a lot of time. Miss Ellis, last night I was listening to my radio. And I understand now that it's no longer a fufu or meet intern or whatever all types of names are put to this thing. But being a student of the University of King Street in Richmond's Gap, I was taught to think, not to follow. How did Mr. Greenidge end up with the $120 million?
You would have to ask him. My recollection overall, the $120 million may well be the Capital Works program that the government is embarking upon.
No, I expect to raise that. But what I'm saying is this. If you have something that you're setting up, it was compulsory before. But if it was compulsory, you will say, well, we have 25,000 civil servants. You have an idea. But when you make it that you could join it or not, how you can come up with a figure? They know the amount of people that can join it. That they already got a figure. Are you going to study that?
I don't know. My note here is that they were trying to repurpose $150 million to Capital Works to bring additional jobs.
We know that. But
that is the figure that they're working with. Now, I don't know. But of course, you know that in their area, they most likely would do certain, set up certain
they
models.
They can't do a figure on something whereby they don't know how many people can volunteer to allow them to take out X amount of money out of their salary. They can't know that yet. They've now got to go and sit down and talk with the unions.
Sir, you are going to operate from the premise that some will and some won't. And therefore, what would happen is that you're going to create different models. All right. So you anticipate model A anticipates X number, model B something else, you know. So that's how
this government is a walkback government. No, this government is a big walkback government. They're always doing things.
You mean that? But that's one way of looking at it. I'm sure there are those who will say to you, "Is a government that if it didn't walk back from this idea of forced savings to the BOSS program," as it has been called, I'm sure you would have been earlier in this program lambasting them for coercing people to do something.
But Miss Ellis, the union Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yes, to work out details.
You don't know if they define your name? Let me get to my next point, Miss Ellis.
Yes,
Alan. Now this BLP government, whenever they're in power, they just create problems. I noticed there's something on Bay Street that I'm taking a close look at, and the media is very quiet on it, almost dumb. I would like to know, at the end of what I see happening next, say, 2 to 5 years, when the business place on Bay Street bring the case in whichever court, Barbados High Court or CCJ, who is going to foot the bill for the stock, the loss of business out of the investors and the taxpayers? You got an idea who you're taking a pay?
Well, I think you know the answer to that very well.
Who's the answer, Ms. Ellis? Everyone knew I'm going to ask you.
But you know everything because you know so much that when the matter gets to the CCJ or the High Court, that the government going to lose. You know everything.
Did I say that?
Well, it certainly was implied.
But Miss Ellis, don't my heart go. The person that owned the business got to get money. In other words, they're all for money right now, so money got to be involved.
Okay, fair
enough. I'm not dealing with the building and the land. I'm dealing with that part. I'm dealing with the loss of business and the stock. Who you think can go up here that also the developers and the taxpayers?
You answer the question. You have the answers to the question.
Let's move on again. Miss Ellis, I was on with you, and a gentleman calling and wanting to say, a standby caller, call it standby callers. And say, I've been going back to the South Coast. And I want you, Miss Ellis, because you and I've got things down discussing about it, and Adrian Donovan, and I want you all to know that I'm going back at it because I'm taking care. I'm a Bajan with Trisman and Grand Trisman, and Barbados interest is my number one. And I told you before, and I will say it again, in 2006 and 2017, both governments were told not to put the treaty storage where it is right now. And we was also told what it would do to the shorelines going down to Brown's Beach. This is going into almost 2 years. And it was placed there temporary. And we hear nothing about it getting moved. And I'm saying this, tourism going to be back. You know, a lot of people say, but tourism going to be back. I am asking this government to do something about it so that when tourism do return, all coastlines going all down by the Hilton, Brown Beach, won't be affected. Okay. Because of
well, just to make the point that the government has already stated on more than one occasion that it is working towards the building of tertiary level plants both on the South Coast and at Bridgetown. So that is a commitment that the government has made. I cannot give any answer.
I heard that just at you, Mr.
I can give no answer as to what has been happening in the intervening period. The government would have to update.
I am here speaking because I hope the Minister of Energy and Water Resources is listening. Because all the time that they're waiting on money to do this plan, is a possibility that danger is in the horizon. We want to make sure that in 3 years, because it's almost two, the next year or two, we don't, but that no problems where the beach course, where the beaches is concerned. That is all. And my final one, Miss Ellis.
You don't have time for a final one. I got to go. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Sacks. Hello. It's 11:43. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hello, David.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Good. I learned something this morning. Not my main point, because I won't get into that. That COB is the, if you want to get a government pick, you got to come through COB as a moderator. I did not know that all of these moderators is in government, in this government establishment today, which the Trinidadian lady, and you seen. You did not deny it, so it looked like it got some sort of truth.
Well, I know some people who have had invitations to, somebody's been invited to sit on a board, and there's two boards, I believe, that's public knowledge. I think everybody knows that Corey has also been involved in this mitigation unit, which has been set up. There is this report, I'm told, about some movement that is possible in relation to Sanka Price.
Okay.
I'm not too sure exactly whether there's any other role for Peter Wickham in terms of anything that is official. I am unaware of anything of that type for in his case. But those are the ones that I know about. And Joanne Haig, of course, the work that she's been doing with the government on a freelance basis. Lisa's been sitting on two boards, I believe. There was an issue at a school not so long ago, and she was on that board, and she sits on the board of the Port Authority.
Are you sitting on any?
No.
Good. Did you went to Africa to witness the bones getting buried?
No.
Oh, you did not. But did you went to Africa? And the last outing, the government went up there?
I went on no. I've been to Africa, but not with the government of Barbados. Nothing to do with the government of Barbados.
Oh, okay. All right. But I thought, my friend, man, at least you can invite me to do two moderator shows.
Well, if you haven't been able to get a pick already based upon the fact that you are a regular caller,
then you
can be on VOB in different ways, you know. You can make your mark as a caller, too, you know.
I don't know
how many callers may be sitting on boards and get justice of the peace and that sort of thing. As a matter of fact, you get picked on the board already as a result of your presence on the air. You used to sit on the Sanitation Service Authority board.
No, that had nothing to do with it.
How you know?
That was because long-standing members.
No, that was not all. That was part of that was your presence on the air.
All right, David, let me get into my thing, though. Last night you watched the press conference?
I listened to it.
Good, all right. Was you aware of Dr. Kevin Greenidge before?
Yes.
Well, he creeped up on me last night, right?
I mean, how?
I'm telling you, again, my experience, man. He creeped up on me last night. I would not say that I never heard the name before, but I know last night was the first time I see and listen to the man. David, it didn't take very long for I to like that guy. That guy is so Bayesian, you understand? And he put me in mind, honest to God, he put me in mind of the current Prime Minister. Simple with his language and dynamic. I like that guy. I got time for people like that. When he talked last night, he certainly didn't went over my head. And I want to personally congratulate him to whatever post he holds in public life in Barbados, man. And that's the truth. Another thing, we look at this whole thing about ministers. You want to comment on that before we go on?
No.
But we look at this whole thing about government and government ministers and all of that sort of thing, right? I heard you said to the Trinidadian lady this morning that ministers and people in political life or the political hustle got some place where they could expound and they have a platform, whether in the Senate or in the lower house, right? That's correct, right?
Yes.
Good. But, David, I want to disagree with you slightly. The reason that I want to disagree with you is this. Many times, a caller might be holding on for an hour, hour and a half, or even half an hour. And the moderator at VOB gets in that some minister, not the Prime Minister or the AG, I believe that you should give way to the Prime Minister or the AG, but some minister somewhere along the line in government on the phone wait to speak to the moderator, you know that you're going through the show.
Can I respond to that?
Of course.
That's not a private call. It usually is driven by the fact that there's something that has been discussed and raised by people that the person wants to respond to.
Not in every instance.
Well, it may not be.
Every instance.
Well, if it in every instance in that regard, it is in every instance where the two parties believe that it is a matter of public interest.
Look, we see ministers operate in this country that when something tickled them, they think that, hey, VOB is the place to come and explain their position, right? And they get preference over everybody else. So it's not true to say that they've got a platform and VOB is not a platform for them.
Ministers get less time on these programs than average people do overall. When you look at the percentage of information that is given to you on these programs by ministers of government, and when you look at the extent to which people like you, tall boy, the Trinidadian lady, Alvin, and this one and that one and the next one got on the radio station, it's far more than any minister gets.
David, I would not deny that VOB has been good to me. I would not deny that at all, right? But I just looking, like you say, I trend.
No, but you're distorting the reality. I'm telling you that I get more criticism from people who say that the regulars are always on the program. And they say this, you know, they don't mind if they're talking something that makes sense. But sometimes they come back with the same thing, the old, same old soup warmer over. saying the same thing over and over again. So they get bored.
Do you get complaints about moderators too?
Not as many as I get about the regular callers.
David, you're being nice.
I'm telling you.
You're being nice, David. But in parking, I would like to say this here. In parking, I would like to say this, man. I believe, right, that the station, the VOB, has been good to a lot of regular callers. But I also know regular callers also have been good to VOB. Because with the regular callers and keeping the program alive, the sponsorship coffers does go up, and VOB does laugh all the way to the bank. You know that. Last but certainly not least, David.
I know we are a private sector entity, and ultimately
we have
interests to protect.
Last but certainly not least, David, I heard you and the preacher just now talking. But the preacher got to understand that this is a new norm, right? I participate these days, or probably for the longest time of my working life, in something called car auctions, where damaged cars go at certain sites around the country and auction, and people like me in the car business get one or two to run after, right? Today, with this Zoom platform, right? Nobody is going into any garage. Nobody is going to any site now to auction a car. We all sitting down home in our drawing room or in our car, and we bidding, right? And okay. I think that system is a system. I believe it will be here to stay. And the churches, nobody ain't going to move out in the church and have nobody ain't greeting thing, you know.
Well, if you get a vaccine and there's a degree of comfort with COVID, you may see something different. One woman says here that she likes the idea of going to church via Zoom because she can cook at the same time. This is down to brass tacks.